At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Imprint Companion, the only podcast on the Australian interwebs that dares discuss the secret and sensual DVD culture, now Blu-ray culture. We are the podcast companion to the incredible Imprint Films boutique Blu-ray label. I am one half of your pair of absolute physical media freaks with a PH, Blake Howard, and joining me as always is my delightful brother in arms, and I mean by arms, I mean physical discs and getting physical, Mr. Alexi Toliopoulos. Sir, it is so good to be back for this stacked, comedy-laden February imprint bundle.
You're getting a freaking bundle of laughs with this batch from Imprint Films. Blake, I'll tell you this, I was so excited to see when this batch was announced, and my excitement was further fueled when I finally got these blues in Blu-ray studios to watch, to review, to enjoy. We have got at least one of my favorite comedies of all time in this batch, and it is a humongous, humongous release, but it is for me so exciting to see the genre that I call home, the genre that I call my freaking vocation, getting featured so prominently by a boutique Blu-ray label, because I feel like comedy very often gets the short shrift when we look at the history of cinema and honoring it through the culture that we celebrate every week on this podcast, Blu-ray and DVD culture.
Yeah, look, it's a really special batch. It literally has one of the maybe comedy box sets all time physical media, and we're gonna really feature that. That is our headline. We're gonna save truly the best
headline act. Dude.
It's the headliner.
We're gonna do the support acts first. We're emceeing this freaking gig. We got the support acts coming on first. We, of course, there's a cancelled guy in the lineup, like every great comedy show. And then at the very end, we're gonna have a tremendous headliner featured on our show today.
And so, look, the batch and the order that we're probably going to be discussing these in, we've got the Jerry Lewis at Columbia box set. We have Return of the Pink Panther for all of those Clouseau completists out there. We have the Bad News Bears in Breaking Training. The middle, the Empire Strikes Back, if you will, of the Bad News Bears trilogy. Mm-hmm. And the proto-neurotic Wasp uncut gems that is the Out of Towners. But let's kick off. Let's start with a little trailer of the Return of the Pink Panther.
He's back. He's back.
He's back.
He's back.
Who's back?
Who's back?
The Pink Panther, the world's largest diamond, has been stolen again. And there's only one man who can get it back.
I am calling in outside help. The famous French detective who recovered the Pink Panther the last time it was stolen. What was his name?
Clouseau.
Peter Sellers as Inspector Jacques Clouseau in The Return of the Pink Panther.
Blake, you had time to catch up with this one. I have not had a chance to watch this yet. Do you love the antics of Mr. Sellers? And did you enjoy The Return of the Pink Panther?
Look, one thing can be said of Blake Edwards' Pink Panther series is, like, the levels of absurdity continue to ratchet up in each of the progressive sequels. And so, like, the perfect film is obviously Pink Panther. Shot in the Dark is very fun. And this is probably one of the lesser sequels, if you're really honest, because, you know the gimmick is sort of run dry. But one thing I did appreciate really is, particularly with this Blue that I want to mention, there is nothing to me, Lex, and I know that you do this too, like finding tremendous, like, features sometimes are created at the time. Like, those, like, they weren't a DVD special feature then. They were something that would appear on Entertainment Tonight. And so this film has some of the most absurd and silly and probably racially inappropriate these days moments in the Pink Panther trilogy. But it's got enough goof and enough silliness. You and I both love crime movies, heist movies, and in every heist movie or crime movie, there's usually a moment where someone is following a mark, a target, or whatever the case may be, a crook that they believe is going to be doing a heist. They usually jump into a cab or a car and they say, follow that man or follow that car. And
love that.
Great staple.
Great trope.
Really funny. And honestly, the price of admission for this movie is just the silliness of that joke. Clouseau jumps into a car, says, follow that car. And his extremely hirsute and unfit driver gets out of the cab and starts hot-footing behind the person that he wants to follow. And it's just...
You sold me, dude. I'm going to chuck this on immediately.
It's so silly. And the gag has a secondary payoff. And I was like, I was watching this kind of passively, not like, and then I was howling like an idiot because it was just so good. But no, as I was mentioning, what is kind of endearing about this exercise, and I feel like it's, you know, I don't know if it's the Adam Sandler standee that's staring at me from, live from Blu-ray Studios or what, but it's just that Peter Sellers, Blake Edwards.
Thank you for addressing it. I did forget he was behind me.
He's watching over this show, and I'm so appreciative that he is. But it's that kind of thing of, like, Peter Sellers and Blake Edwards were such good buddies. They just liked hanging out together. And they're like, let's make another excuse for us to go to a few exotic locations and do silly things together. And it's kind of completely, you know, that Happy Madison thing of, like, let's take all my friends and let's go make a funny film. Mm. And, you know, if it turns out great, it turns out great. But if it doesn't, we'll most certainly make our money back, only to just do this thing again. And so that was really appreciated in the behind the scenes docos that you can find on Imprint Collection 106, The Return of the Pink Panther. Is just like, you watch this movie, if this is kind of your bag, purely, you know, classic absurdist humor from Sellers, you're going to get something out of it. It's got one of the best sight gags, as I just mentioned. And just watching these guys, like, have so much fun in relishing the silliness was kind of really endearing, because I don't know if there's anything more endearing than just, like, going and making play with your friends, like doing silly things. And it's the kind of funnest part about this show for us, is us just cracking each other up with silliness and enjoying and relishing the hell out of these great flicks that we get to check out and talk about together. So if one of the lesser sellers, but I know what I can say is this: as a physical media completist, if you already have the Pink Panther and you already have a Shot in the Dark, and it's probably actually even more readily available to get the Steve Martin Pink Panther and Pink Panther sequels, if you don't have this, you need it. So you're going to need to fill the gap in the collection. So it's going to be one for you. Now,
I've got the Steve Martin remake Criterion Collection, 4K UHD that they just released. So
I'm waiting for the
fun. I'm a completist.
I'm waiting for the Fun City Cinema edition of Pink Panther 2. But I just have to say, Lex, we did not expect much out of the sequel to The Bad News Bears in Breaking Training. Mm-hmm. But I know that you had a particularly good time with it. Let's listen to the trailer and let's come back and hear you get back with the bears.
All right, kiddies, it's library hour. I got three Playboys.
Don't assume anything. That way you won't make an ass out of you or me.
Sometimes we're the Bad News Bears. Sometimes we're just bad news.
Yeah, right. Let's see it.
All right, Alexi. There's no Walter Matthau. In a resplendent collection, that has Walter Matthau all through it and his comedy life partner, Jack Lemmon, two of our favorites ever to do it. But it does come back with William Devane and the Bad News Bears and Breaking Training. Tell us about your experience watching this one.
This was interesting, right? Because I love the original Bad News Bears. I've talked about it on this podcast before when Imprint did a beautiful restored release of that film. I had never seen any of the sequels to the Bad News Bears. I think I did avoid them because they don't have like an essential reputation where you go, you got to watch them, you got to catch up with them if you love the original. They've kind of been forgotten a little bit.
Where the original is like, you have to see this movie. Like, it's one of Matthau's best in a guy's career that maybe is one of the best careers ever.
Yeah, it's a great performance. And I think one of the reasons it's not essential is because there is no Matthau, there is no Tatum O'Neill, which are like the two brightest stars. They are what make that original film become an icon, because you've got these two extremely charismatic stars on each end of the age spectrum, really knocking it out of the park, to use a metaphor that relates to the sport in question of the film. So there was some, I had always had some hesitance about going in, but once we got this batch in, I was like, you know what? It's time to step up to the plate and knock it out finally.
Listen,
and
for a man famously against sports, you've literally put every baseball cliche there is. You've knocked it out of the park. It's a home run.
Thank you so much. And, you know, let's just say I did get up to third base with this film. I really quite enjoyed this. It's a little bit of a sleeper surprise for me. Because I think one of the smartest decisions they made by losing, like, the two great stars is just really giving the Bears a bit of space to shine. Like, I love the Bad News Bears. I think they're a much more enjoyable cohort of tween misfits than their follow-ups, including the Goonies and stuff. I've always preferred the Bears because there's something more playful about the grubbiness of these kids. And I think giving them a bit of like an ensemble role to shine there works so nicely in this being a bit of a road movie where they're unsupervised going to the championship league. It is really sweet, but the smartest thing that they do is recognize that Jackie Earle Haley, who is one of the most featured actors in the Imprint label with this, the original and Day of the Locust, he realizing that he's quite a formidable presence for a child star. And of course, we now know him as like one of the great modern character actors. To give him a chance to pop on that captain's helmet. I actually think I've lost any kind of baseball. You know, give him the starting position in the team this time, I think works really well. And to have the whole story be a story between him and his estranged father, William Devane, slowly taking center in the film as this estranged father and son relationship, I think works really nicely. This is a really nice, sweet little sequel that makes me very excited to one day, and I'm sure Imprint will release it. I've got zero authority on this.
Has to.
But I'm hoping they have to continue and release a third film, which is called Bad News Bears.
Go to Japan. Bad News Bears Go to Japan.
Bad News Bears Go to Japan. And do you know who takes over as coach in the third one?
Listen, if you're talking about one of the strangest trios of leading men to hang around with a bunch of kids in a baseball movie, being the Bears, it's firstly the great Walter Matthau, secondly William Devane, Rolling Thunder's William Devane, and
yeah, he's wonderful as that estranged father in this film.
Yeah, he's really
but
terrific.
The third film has one of the biggest surprises.
It's got Tony Curtis, which both you and I have like, what? Tony Curtis is the guy? So, look, if we, you know, occasionally we throw our wishes out to the Imprint gods and the amazing work that they do, but I would put the house on it that if we've already got the Bad News Bears and now we've got the Bad News Bears in Breaking Training, then we most certainly will see the Bad News Bears go to Japan at some point.
I hope so. I got to see Tony Curtis mucking it up with the Bears.
I can't wait.
He's one of my guys.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited. That is really great. Now, from bad news to good news, this next one is just one of many of the great Jack Lemmon performances that we're going to discuss in this incredible batch. Let's see what I call, or let's actually hear for you guys listening, a little trailer for a film that I call Wasp Uncut Gems, The Out of Towners.
Is that a beautiful city or is that a beautiful city?
Oh, that's a beautiful city.
George, they can't find the bag.
They lost our luggage.
Jack Lemmon and Sandy Dennis are the out-of-towners in Neil Simon's outrageous comedy about New York City.
Hold it. What's wrong? Put your hands up.
Oh, my God!
Don't miss that wall. Just don't make a sound.
When they take you for an out-of-towner, they really take you.
You mean to tell me that I was mugged while I was sleeping?
You're not telling me you didn't hold the room for me.
Man, move it!
Oh, my God, we're being kidnapped.
I'm a business executive from Ohio.
Hey, folks.
Look, I've got no place to sleep. I've got no money. I want to know what the city intends to do about this.
Blake, this was the one that I was maybe secretly most excited to get into. When this batch arrived on my doorstep, I walked the 5 minutes that I have to stroll over to my mother's house, and I was like, Ma, we are going to watch some classic comedies, and we chucked on The Out of Towners first. I have a real love for this movie. Blake, it was your first time catching up with it. What are your thoughts on this stressful little raw nerve of a comedy from Arthur Hiller?
Look, it's, you just hit the nail on the head. It's one of the most neuroses-inducing films I think I've ever seen. Jack Lemmon and Sandy Dennis are a married couple coming into town. Jack Lemmon's about to do a job interview that's going to get him a job in the big New York office. And literally everything that can go wrong does go wrong. You know, from getting on their flight turns around. Attempting to get a train is full. Attempting to make their way somewhere else to get there, and then eventually making their way to New York City, they are stranded, everything. And it's just this incredible story of like people who feel entitled and watching the city that never sleeps, not giving a rat's about that perspective whatsoever, and just chucking, mm-hmm. you know, theft and like accidentally being bungled into a crew that's on a heist, sleeping in a park, being robbed by a pimp, being drawn into political turmoil. Like, it is such a stressful movie, and Jack Lemmon is so sensational as that highly strung lead character, and Sandy Dennis is so
one of the best guys at getting the freaking
the
tuner turned up on him until he gets so tightly wound and he's about to break. Jack Lemmon is in his sweet spot in this movie.
He's in such a sweet spot. And so look, it is, when I was watching it, I don't know whether if I was in a particularly stressful mood, maybe some like high blood pressure. I don't know. Maybe I had some indigestion. Who knows? All I can say is that by the end of it, I was like deeply stressed. But
yeah,
the more I've thought about it, because I was, you know, howling with laughter and having a really great time, it is just a terrific film. And look, it's...
Yeah, you told me you chucked on like one of your comfort movies after
I had
this.
To.
I'm like, whoa, this really got it, you. This wound you
it
up.
It wound me up. It stressed me right out. And the brilliance of it is not only is it like a really terrifically crafted comedy, and is the other performances so perfectly attuned to the like the increasing levels of absurdity that they face, but it is just a beautiful picture card of 1970 New York City, you know, in the real tradition of that fun city, like, you know, examination.
Yeah, great fun city movie.
Fun city movie, just like truly showing the New York City at that time in all its glory. So I had such a great time with it. I was so stoked to hear that like Jack Lemmon is such a big Mrs. Toliopoulos winner. And yeah. So when you told me that you took this and
Ms. Honey, she's single. Ms.
Ms. Stoliopoulos is one of Jack Lemmon's. Jack Lemmon's one of their guys. It was so great to hear that, like, you guys watch this, but you know, this is a fond one for you guys. So you've had such an appreciation of this great Neil Simon work for as long as you've been alive.
Man, I'm a big Neil Simon guy, especially the next movie that we'll talk about. But I love Neil Simon's kind of like New York approach. This was originally written to be a segment in Neil Simon's play, The Plaza Suite, that kind of details different suites in a Plaza Hotel. But then he just kept expanding it and expanding it, enjoyed writing it so much that he could only really see it as a movie because he wanted to see them get out and like wander New York City. And that's how this movie came to be. It's such a fun exploration of New York from that outsider's perspective. The idea that this is the rattiest and craziest and rowdiest city in the world that will freaking swallow you up if you're a little country bumpkin or like someone who just is not made for the big city lifestyle. And I would say it's one of the best versions of that, if not the best version of that idea of like this city swallowing you the frick up and spitting you out without your shoes on, basically. That's what the city digests. And it having some great little character actors along the way. There's a great small performance by Anne Meara, who is Ben Stiller's mother in it. Ben Stiller's mother in real life, but she's playing like a person reporting a crime to the police in a police station. And it's so funny. I love it when Anne Meara pops up and stuff. That she's popped up in a few things for me recently in some old school watches and some Law & Order SVU episodes that I've been watching. So she's a great New York character actor. And I just love seeing her. But the one that really shocked me was a young Billy D. Williams popping up as an airport worker. I reckon it's maybe the youngest I've ever seen him popping up in 1970. And my God, he's so charming. Baby D. Williams, I can call him. I'm so excited to see him in the movie.
And look, this is the first of two two of the greatest premise movies ever created. Yes. Out of Towners is like the premise defining thing, and so many people you can totally tell going, we need to do Out of Towners here, we need to do Out of Towners there. So we've gone from this, which is so essential, so great to see it getting the Blu-ray treatment, good little commentary track from his film historian Lee Gambin on there, who's a stalwart, if you like, of many of the great imprint releases. So totally worth your while. But we truly have to get to...
And it looks fantastic as well, Blake. Like that, the transfer on this looks really wonderful for a film of this era.
Yeah, it looks spectacular. And all these New York films, it's like if you've got Jason Bailey's great book, Fun City Cinema, this is kind of an essential thing. You need it. But
a must watch.
Here... Right now, we arrive. We're going to play a trailer for, I guess, the jewel in the crown in the next box set, and truly one of the best box sets that pairs together a sense of the cultural impact of a pair of films, but also a television show that almost I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to hear the trailer firstly to The Odd Couple, and then we're going to hear about The Odd Couple.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Collection.
What's wrong, Oscar?
Something wrong with this system. That's what's wrong. I don't think that two single men living alone in a big 8-room apartment should have a cleaner house than my mother.
starring Jack Lemmon, a hypochondriac, a fuss budget, neater than neat, cleaner than clean. No wonder his wife kicked him out.
Stop that, will you? What are you doing?
I'm trying to clear up my ears.
Did it open up? I think I
strained my throat. Ago on Imprint Companion, you told me about an incredible featurette, which was a commentary track on one of the releases that was internationally available of The Odd Couple, that was Matthau and Lemmon on Lemmon and Matthau, and then an audio commentary which was Charlie Matthau and Chris Lemmon, the two sons of these two enduring best friends, doing a commentary track on The Odd Couple. I want to talk about that so much, which is why I want to bring it out at the top. But Neil Simon's legendary play, The Odd Couple, was adapted into a film, into one of truly the greatest comic films ever made in 1968. This box set includes that film. It includes The Odd Couple 2, which is a 1998 30-year reunion road movie, getting these guys back together and the characters. And it also features an incredible Odd Couple aperitif, a little taste, a little entree into the 1970s television series that was also immense. Talk to me about truly one of the best comedy box sets I think you and I have ever unwrapped.
Blake, when they announced this, bitch, I gotta tell you, I freaking screamed. I couldn't believe it. I will, hand on heart, I'm an Odd Couple aficionado. I love The Odd Couple. It is my favorite comedy film that does not feature Mike Myers. I will say that really deeply and truly. I grew up watching The Odd Couple. I used to watch the TV show. I loved the movies growing up. And my love for them has grown so much more over the years. I think that, like you said, it is one of the original premise comedies, where the premise is just two opposing guys are stuck together with juxtaposing personalities that clash like oil and water, two famously opposing substances that are so similar, yet they cannot meet properly. And it is just, it works up and freaking down. And it is two of the most charming lead performances comedy has ever seen, with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau. Jack Lemmon, of course, playing the fastidious, neurotic, anal
clean freak
character. He's a Felix freaking Unger. Clean freak. He is Felix Unger. F you, I would say. And of course, we've got Walter Matthau as Oscar Madison, who is a slouch, he's a slub, he's a grub. He is very sweet and kind-hearted and easygoing. But the two of them, how they can kind of get on each other's nerves, despite like kind of being nice and easygoing guys when they're not around each other, even though, like, you know, Jack Lemmon can wind up so much. It's just like the most beautiful chemistry you'll ever see. They've made many, many movies together, these two, from Grumpy Old Man to The Front Page, but there's something so special about them in these roles. And the way that this original film looks is beautiful, beautiful colors, beautiful sets. The production design is so lovely and the set dressing is so lovely in this movie. And I think it's one of those great adaptations of a play where it feels at once quite elevated for cinema, in like how they get out into the world and stuff. But the play origins are present in the way that the film is staged and set. And I think it works really wonderfully to evoke both feelings while you're watching it. And The Odd Couple endures for a reason, because there's a great premise and you find two great stars to work alongside each other. This box set is a dream come true for me. Not only does it retain some of the special features that I love so much from my international release of this film that I imported many, many years ago desperately when I found out that commentary track between their two sons existed, but it has got some really wonderful new ones on just this original disc even, which is just some lovely special features that kind of go into the film, the working of it, like the why it's got an enduring legacy. But one that is new here that I really, really appreciated is just an isolated audio track featuring Neil Hefti's score. And I think The Odd Couple has one of, if not the great comedy scores. And it's just so wonderful catchy to have that on in the background.
So catchy.
Yeah. I rewatched the Danish comedy Clown, which is a very grubby movie that is kind of a take on Curb Your Enthusiasm meets The Hangover almost. And rewatching it, I was just like, wow, the score for this movie is just ripping off The Odd Couple. So it's interesting to go back and watch it after that.
They probably tempt it with Neil Hefti's score and were like, we need a score that just sounds exactly like this because we can't get it out of our heads. Yeah, look, I love this movie. I love what you said about the blend of, you know, it being a perfect movie and a really being anchored in its play's origins. One of my favorite scenes is one of those things that couldn't have been achieved on the stage necessarily unless they had like a little scene away, which is Oscar receiving a call from Felix while he's in the middle as a baseball journalist, and he gets a call from Felix about something basically, you know, nothing, just a nothing phone call about dinner or something like that, and misses like an all-timer play at his job. And it's just so funny about being anchored back in 1968 of like, there's no replays. There's no instant replays. It's probably not even really televised, and he's meant to write it up.
He's not on a mobile. He has to leave the stand.
And it's just hilarious. Just one of those moments just perfectly typifies their relationship. But, you know, this has the great original film, as you talked about. It's got The Odd Couple 2, which, you know, look, truly, it pales in comparison to the first one, but it's just such a pleasure. Yeah. It's just a fun hang to be back with these characters in a silly road movie. And I think that everyone involved really feels, despite all of its conveniences and all those sorts of things, it's not that same high art that it is. But it's just fun to be with these guys again after 30 years.
That's it. It's a nice movie. It's a nice road movie. It's a really nice reunion between the two. But like you said, it is just special to see these guys who work together a lot. There's something genuinely special about seeing them return to those roles. And there's a wonderful moment where they finally reunite at the airport, where they see each other from a distance across like the grand scope of the airport amongst all the other people collecting their bags. And they just scream each other's names at each other and start charging to hug each other. It's really sweet. It's a very nice movie. And I would say it's bolstered by a great slew of special features that disc, where you've got a new feature, which is Two Grumpy Old Men directing The Odd Couple 2 with director Howard Deutsch. And then you've got two feature-length documentaries, one on Jack Lemmon, America's Everyman from 1996, and Walter Matthau's Diamond in the Rough, 1997.
A banger.
And those are just two wonderful hour-long docos.
I haven't done the Jack Lemmon one yet, but because Walter Matthau is so special to, I think, the both of us, I watched Diamond in the Rough, and it's just excellent. It's just great little doco about him and a great appreciation and still really well done. But this is then the clincher for the box set. What else features in this set, Lex?
This absolutely rocks. This, I think, was my introduction to The Odd Couple as a concept, as something significant in history. I used to watch The Odd Couple TV show with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall growing up on cable TV. My mum used to love it. My grandma used to love it. My grandpa used to love it. So we used to watch it a lot. And they are just as good as Lemon and Matthau at embodying these characters. And this is a wonderful collection of 10 episodes, 10 essential episodes to introduce you to the continuing adventures of these two screwballs living with each other. It's really, really wonderful, especially when you go back to like the 60s and stuff, and TV shows have like 10,000 episodes and they ran for like a decade and a half. It's hard to know where to start, and it can be so intimidating when you want to try and watch a classic TV show. Like, the scope of it can be scary. So having just like 10 selected, curated, wonderful classic episodes is a really, really, really lovely little treat. And there is a gag reel on there that is introduced by the great producer of that show, Gary Marshall, icon of cinema and TV. So it's just really, really fun. I cannot tell you, like how much I freaking love this box set. I never thought I'd see it happen. I just cannot believe that when it was announced that I just go, I was like, that's a no-brainer. Why has no one ever thought of putting this together so thoughtfully, so lovely to honor one of the very, very best comedy franchises of all time? My one gripe, Blake, and it's a big gripe, they should have at least included one episode of the 2010s era Odd Couple remake TV show with Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon. Just a secret. Maybe there is it. Maybe it's hidden on the disc somewhere. Just
it's
the
an
pilot
Easter
episode
egg.
Of
it's
that.
An Easter egg.
I would love to see that. A little Easter egg. I got to select the actual cursor. That's just like in the original Lord of the Rings extended edition Blu-rays and DVDs. I cannot give a high enough praise to this box set. I really, really love it. It's so nice.
What's so great about this box set, why we're so emphatic about this entire batch for February for Imprint being so terrific, is I just yearn for more shows to get this treatment, because there are many shows or many television shows that were based on films and vice versa. And as Lex said, you know, it's so hard to dive into different series without like knowing exactly what to do. And, you know, everyone knows how close Michael Mann's Miami Vice from 2006 is to my heart. Obviously, if you're listening to One Heat Minute Productions, which is the sister feed to Imprint Companion, or you might even be listening to the show on the One Heat Minute Productions feed, you know we've got our Miami Nice show. I would love a theatrical cut of Miami Vice, a director's cut of Miami Vice, and then just 10 of the best, because there are truly probably 10 iconic episodes, and you would often see people rank like these are 10 of the best, these are the best, that you would just like, you know, get a sense of what the entire series is doing. And I feel like that would be amazing. So if anything, what I love about this box set is that it blazes a trail and opens up doors to other potential series and, you know, other, you know, comedy action movies. Like even the original Charlie's Angels series could do with 10 of the best episodes of Charlie's Angels, and then the Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, you know, movies.
God.
That would be super great. So
God, dude.
The possibilities are endless, and I think that this way, it's just like truly leading the way. So if there's anything that we can chuck out in the universe for Imprint, and just really any labels, it's just like, look at this box set, look at what it has done for this show and its culture impact and the way that it's presented it, and just like, there has to be countless other examples that are out there in the world for this to happen.
I got one word for you. MASH.
Yeah. Yes. MASH, and then 10 of the best. 100%. It's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a smashing little batch of blues. If you're looking for something to perhaps tickle your funny bone, I would recommend the entire batch, really. I think it's worth going for, especially if you're like, your boutique collection is just missing some comedy. Like if you just want to like just go, okay, here's a genre in my collection that is just sorely lacking, you can just chuck this directly in there and bulk up an entire genre in your collection with at least 2 all-time classic movies, and then some interesting oddities as well. I love this whole batch. This was a really, really fun one to talk about, but an even more precious one to own.
It was such a treat to talk about this batch with you, my friend, knowing how much it means to Ms. Toliopoulos. She's single. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, guys. Share the show if you're a physical media nut, a physical media freak with a PH. Please, if you want to hit us up on the socials, please do. We would love to hear from you on socials, hashtag Imprint Companion. And you can find us anywhere on the socials. I am One Blake Minute. Alexi is This Is Alexi. You can find us both on the Twitters and the Instagram on those handles. But Lex, we both have other podcasts that are kicking around at the moment. Please shout out what you want to point the folks to at the moment.
You can check out my new podcast, Lived It, where Jen Fricker and I are talking about all the shows that people are banging out on that are coming out on Netflix, but we found a new way to talk about them. We find people out there in the world that have interesting yarns and cool stories that kind of relate to the shows that we're talking about. We got one coming up this week that I'm very excited about. We use the Toni Collette thriller series, Pieces of Her, to talk to someone else that didn't really know who their parents were. We talked to a woman whose parents were spies for ASIO during the Cold War. And it is a really, really cool, fun conversation that gets into some really exciting stuff. Blake, you're wrapping up the Zodiac Chronicle as we speak.
Yeah, a marathon edit of the second last episode has been done. You guys can listen to that now. On to the final episode, trying to wrap everything up there. The incredible score that we've done for the series by my friend Chris Duffy, who's the man behind Los Espinos. I'm also going to look at releasing the entire soundtrack on our Patreon, so you can check that out to us soon. Really excited about that. But actually going to point you to, I guess, a behemoth podcast, a huge podcast that we both admire. I've been honored to be asked on the Slash Filmcast, the Filmcast now, as it is known. So if you want to check that out, the Filmcast, people, if you are listening, you probably, if you're a film fan, you probably know it, or you've heard of it, or you've subscribed to it. But I'm excited because I'm on there talking about The Batman. Where is the Batman? He's at home washing his tights. No, not that Batman. I'm talking about, obviously, Robert Pattinson. I'm talking about Broods Wayne. I'm talking about the latest Matt Reeves, The Batman. I get to talk to Jeff and Devendra and Dave Chan, and they are just a great bunch of guys. And it would be a surprise to many of you to know that as a person who has Batman tattoos and has also named his son adjacently to about from a Batman character.
Dr. Croc is your gorgeous
my son, Doc Croc. Mr. Freeze, Howard, as his name is. I didn't enjoy it, so it's kind of fun convo. So if you want to go and listen to that, do that. Otherwise, jump onto our Patreon at One Hit Minute Productions. Yeah. There's another great convo with my best friend, comics aficionado, best-selling author, screenwriter Maria Lewis, going in on the island of the effusive gush of the Batman. So if you want to get a little bit of that, of some contemporary stuff, I'd love you to listen.
The May batch of Imprint contains a beautiful box set called the Neo-Noir After Dark Cinema Collection Number 1. And there's a special feature on there that I'd love to shout out to a wonderful 1998 neo-noir starring Paul Newman, Gene Hackman, Susan Sarandon called Twilight. And that special feature is an audio commentary by two of the finest film critics in Australia, none other than Blake Howard and Alexi Toliopoulos, talking over the movie with some facts and appreciation for an unheralded classic that we think is awesome. It's us. We're talking over it. It's our first audio commentary together. Your second in total. My first in history. My audio commentary on disc debut.
Oh.
I'm really excited about it. We're in great company on that box. And there are some really awesome movies in that box set. Twilight, chief among them. And also, the freaking Warriors is coming out finally on a theatrical cut on Blu-ray in the same month. Dare I say, could be the best batch ever.
Yeah, unbelievable batch. Travis Woods, film critic, host of Increment Vice, Walter Chaw doing essays for the entire box. It is shaping up, and we are extremely biased, but it's shaping up to be one of the best box sets ever. And I think, you know, we've already had two essential film noir collections in the imprint, in the entire imprint oeuvre. So neo-noir is a genre so near and dear to us. We love it. And getting a chance to talk about maybe three of the biggest Hollywood actors of all time, being Paul Newman and Gene Hackman and Susan Sarandon together. It was such a blast. So we hope that you guys get your hands on that. We can't wait to get our hands on it, to see our names up in lights together. We had a blast doing it. It's going to be so fun to listen to.
It's a fun listen. And also, the other discs in the whole freaking batch that week are The Contender, starring Jeff Bridges, and one of my faves, Joan Allen. I love Joan Allen. Don't we love Joan Allen?
After Dark, My Sweet, from James Foley. Holy shimoly. Jason Patrick at maybe his best. One False Move. Woo. It's going to be a sexy, sexy noir box set.
And also Bloody Sunday. The freaking Paul Greengrass movie is in the entire batch as well. Man, May is going to be good. It's my birthday month. And let me tell you this, the birthday boy shall be having a wonderful present courtesy of iVision that year.
We didn't even know this right now about each other, but I'm a May birthday boy too. It is our May month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, May birthday.
Are you a Taurus?
I'm a Taurus, baby.
Oh my God, we got two fucking Taurians locking horns on the podcast and we didn't even know about it.
We didn't know about it. Listen, the loves and the similarities between us continue to bloom, but we can't wait to talk to you guys about the upcoming. Before May, we've got March, we've got April, and May as well. It's just, it's an absolutely incredible lineup.
I mean, that's how the freaking year works, dude. I don't know why you're so flummoxed by that.
I'm just flummoxed by, we were so lucky at the beginning of Imprint when we were thinking we were getting these boutique Blu-rays like every, you know, every quarter and then maybe every 2 months.
Yeah,
but now like,
we get like 10 a year maybe.
And then every month of the year, these incredible releases come out and it's harder and harder to avoid to purchase them. But look, we'll chat to you guys on another Imprint Companion soon. This has been a blast talking to you as always, Lex. And guys, reach out to us and you know, send us a shelfie.
Yeah.
And if you dig, if you dig the After Dark set, you know, share it. We'd love to hear if you dig it. And any of our recommendations that you pick up from the show, like engage with us. We're so stoked to always talk to you guys anytime.
I love hearing from the listeners. And remember, check out Zodiac Chronicle from Blake and Lived It from me. We love you guys and keep on spinning those discs, dude.
Podcast. We dive into the great and underappreciated cinematic works, often 1 minute or one scene at a time. Our crew of guests are some of the most wonderful filmmakers, writers, authors, and critics ever assembled. Our shows include One Heat Minute, Josie and the Podcats, All the President's Minutes, Increment Vice, and right now, Zodiac Chronicle. Check out oneheatminute.com or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.